Hi, listening beekeepers. This month's audio file for you is kind of a novel thing for me. I don't normally write in this format. So, consequently, I don't normally read in this format. Several months ago, I did a podcast with Jeff Ott, an expert beekeeper and an IT person who oversees our podcast, and we talked about keeping bees on trailers. He had some experience with that. I have a lot of experience with it. So my discussion with you today is keeping beehives on trailers. I've said that, in fact, it's little more than a mobile bee yard. I recorded this transcript for you, so it reads in conversational format. Be prepared. I started by saying, I must have 5 trailers right now, and before anybody says, oh my stars, you should know that they're all small. I've got anywhere from really small trailers that go behind my tractors all the way up to 2 bigger trailers that I can tow behind my truck. At one time or another, I've had bee colonies on every one of those trailers. It's been my experience as an older beekeeper that I want wheels or rollers on everything in my bee life. When moving hives for pollination, either as a younger man, I was eager to use trailers. I would ask myself, is there any way that I can use a trailer and not have to take these colonies off the truck, set them down, and go back 8 to 10 days later and do the whole thing all over again? It's a vast amount of work to load and unload hives. An immediate question for the grower is, can I just put these hives on a trailer and then unhook it and be gone? Many times the growers would stand their ground and require me to set the colonies throughout the orchard. That's a lot more work. And it's strangely easy to lose a colony in the tall grass that grows in the interval that they sit there. Jeff said, the big guys have their front end loaders and pallets, and they're all set to do this kind of in and out type of beekeeping and pollination or whatever you're doing, all the while moving from one location to another, following the bloom, so to speak. Smaller beekeeping operations can't afford the front end loaders or the skid steer loaders, and the trailer becomes a viable option. There's a lot to consider when you're looking at a trailer for hauling bees. I responded right off the bat. Jeff, you almost said it. I was waiting for it right off the bat. Why would I use a trailer of any size? My immediate response is because they are generally much lower to the ground than my pickup or a larger truck. I don't have to pick the colony up or lift the colony as high off the ground. Yes, I can use ramps on the tailgate of the truck, but you really want someone to take pictures of you when you're trying to pull that beehive up the ramp backwards onto the truck. That foot and a half or so of height difference really matters. If you've got the right trailer, it may actually have loading ramps that are built onto the back of it. I continued, I find it much easier to load a trailer with bees than I do to get them on my truck or on the old days on a flatbed truck and then get them back off again. Jeff responded, no, it only takes once or twice of trying to load a heavy beehive onto the back of a pickup truck before you realize this won't work as a regular event. It's good for once or twice when moving a bee yard. If you're doing this on a regular basis, the trailer really comes in handy, and the lower to the ground, within limits, the better it is. You have to take into consideration where your bee yards are located. If you're doing pollination contracts or following the bloom, then you have to consider ground clearances. That becomes a whole different factor trying to decide what trailer you want. I responded, if you're going to unhitch the trailer and then back it up again, yes, the beekeeper wants to know the yard is level. Is the yard solid? In a perfect bee world, the sky is always blue, the birds are always singing, and the bees are always happy. But the common reality is, it's 2:30 in the morning, the dew has fallen, the truck's slipping on the grass, you can't see the hitch. You've got no one to help you because you got no friends, Jeff. You've already been through all of them. So the devil is in the details. Jeff said the only friends you've got at that time would be mosquitoes, and they're all over you. And I had to laugh at that and say, well, they're not friends, but they're there all the same. But I want to put this in the discussion right now. If you haven't done it, you're probably going to do it. Here's the situation. You've got a smallish single-axle trailer, and you've listened to a podcast or you've read an article somewhere, so you got a bee trailer. Now it's time to return and hitch it back to the truck. Okay, listeners, follow me here. When that trailer is not hitched to the truck and the hives are not situated right over the axle, or even better, nearer the front, the tongue of the trailer will fly up in the air because you suddenly put your body weight on the back of the trailer. The axle, serving as a fulcrum with the hives in the center, will tilt up. Suddenly, you've abruptly got your bees unloaded. They'll all come sliding down the trailer toward you. So, hitch the trailer to the truck first, then work the colonies. All those years ago, that brings me to the very next point, if possible, that towing vehicle should be a four-wheel drive vehicle. Jeff asked about the towing vehicle. Yep, I'm referring to my towing vehicle. And I said, yes, your towing vehicle should be four-wheel drive. Like I said, the world's not always perfect. Sometimes it's rainy and muddy. Jeff, you mentioned pollination work. In fact, I've moved hives most of the time not for pollination work, but for management reasons. For instance, I had a couple of hives that would not stop stinging everyone in the whole neighborhood. The move was not a huge one, just two colonies. I'm really going to have trouble finding someone to help me move them, so I use the trailer because I've got bees that are stinging everyone in sight, requiring me to work alone. So I still use the trailer. Massive overkill. Just removing those two genetically angry colonies to a location about 40 miles away was still a significant amount of work. The funny part of this story is that a bear found those two colonies 40 miles away. Eastern Ohio beekeepers had not had a bear sighting in about 100 years. I almost got my name in the local newspaper. The bear destroyed those two colonies, and I wrote about that in an earlier Bee Culture article. Now you've got a four-wheel drive truck and just a single-axle trailer, maybe 12, 14 feet long, and you're going to take it to a bee yard. I got to tell you from experience that yard must be able to take that kind of rig turning around, backing up, and getting out. A lot of yards will not work well for trailering your bees just because you're going to have to do some sophisticated driving and backing if the yard is too small. Jeff said it needs to handle the situation with a loaded trailer. A lot of times, an unloaded trailer sits differently than a loaded trailer. You can get in there, but you can't get out, or you can't get it loaded up, and you can't get backed out. You need to put these characteristics into consideration. Jeff continued, when I had horses, I always used a gooseneck trailer. I love gooseneck trailers. Regarding trailers for bees, do you, Jim, prefer a gooseneck trailer or a bumper hitch? Secondly, how many axles would the ideal trailer have, one or two? Two axles are a lot more stable, and you don't have that fly-up of the hitch that you have as a concern. What's your experiences with that, Jim? Well, I was caught off guard, listeners. I wasn't expecting that, and I told Jeff, well, I have some guesses, some opinions, and I do have some experience. The two-axle trailer is probably going to have brakes on it. That really helps. Even a loaded single-axle trailer, medium-sized, 16 feet long, with 15, 20, 30 colonies on it, it's going to really push the truck. You, the driver, must realize that stopping distance is going to be greatly increased to stop the truck. Double-axle trailers usually have brakes, surge brakes on the tongue or something like that. I continued by saying, secondly, those larger trailers are heavier, making it a different concept. More pressure on you, the driver, and more gas consumption. They're more stable, but there's a limit to the amount of weight you can put on a bumper hitch. Then I told a story from long ago. Years ago, I pulled a trailer loaded with good junk all the way from South Alabama to Northeast Ohio. I didn't notice until I was backing down my home driveway that my bumper had twisted downward on the trunk, making my bumper position at about a 35-degree angle. The bolts that held the bumper to the truck had slipped. I was home, but I still had a fearful moment there. What if the bumper had come off? It's a bumper hitch, so the trailer would have come loose from the truck. Now, having gotten to this point, I've not routinely used a gooseneck. I'm going to have to depend on you, Jeff, for some insight on that. I've used horse trailers and have made them work for moving equipment, primarily, but I've never specifically used a gooseneck of any kind for moving hives. It was always a bumper hitch or a heavy-duty pinel-type hitch. You tell me what was involved in hooking up that gooseneck to the truck. You said it was more stable, easier to back. How difficult was it to attach a gooseneck trailer to your truck? Jeff said, well, it's more stable in the wind. That trailer attached as a gooseneck is more secure. Backing is a lot easier. It's more natural. It's more intuitive when backing up. Even lining up the hitch and hooking it up was easier because, in most cases, you could see it up to the final second that the hitch was in the middle of the truck bed. Jeff said, I understand that some of the new trucks now even have a camera sighted on the center of the bed of the truck. Even lining it up with the camera is just like many cars with using backup assist now. The downside to those trailers are, clearly, that they're more expensive. I said, Jeff, at this point, I guess I've got a question that I'll check out when we finish the conversation, but right now, what's the difference between a trailer and a wagon? Then Jeff was caught off guard, and he said, when you say wagon, the only thing I can think of is something that says radio flyer stamped on the side of it, or it's a cart being towed behind a tractor fully loaded with hay. I responded to that by saying that's exactly where I was going. Years ago, I thought I had a bright idea. I took some of the university hay wagons, they were just very utilitarian devices, and I put pollination hives on them. I nailed the pallets to the trailer, and then I nailed the bottom boards to the pallet, and then I put the hive components on those nailed bottom boards. It really made a secure ride. Those hives are staying on that trailer. All I had to do was keep the outer covers on. What's fundamentally wrong with this? Answer, by the time I got to where I was going, I had a load of the angriest, most upset bees you've ever seen, and I realized on the trip that you can only go about 20 miles per hour. A hay wagon has no suspension system on it. It's a slow wagon with a rough ride. I'm hypothesizing that the difference between a trailer and a wagon is the suspension system, or the lack of it. If anyone has any interest in using a hay wagon, you're going to have to go 15 to 20 miles per hour. If you go much faster, you're going to be bouncing bees all over the community, because there's not enough weight to settle the trailer out, even if you run the tires half slack. So the trailer idea blew up on me. I was not able to use those simple farm wagons as a bee-moving device on the highway, but they worked fine within the orchard. Jeff thought all of this was interesting. I continued, "When you mentioned the horse wagon idea a bit ago, you wandered into a different arena. Those are enclosed trailers. Cargo doors close them up. I had a shock years ago using a cargo truck, not a trailer, with fold-down doors. I want to tell you, it's really easy, even when the temperature outside was in the 20s, to overheat that load of bees in an enclosed container. You're bouncing them, you're jostling them, they're upset, they're confined, they begin to get worked up, they generate heat. They generate a lot of heat. It was shocking to have those colonies overheat when the outside temperature was so cold. Now, as I said, this was not a trailer, but an enclosed box truck, but the same situation would be the same when using an enclosed trailer. Jeff, my situation was laughable. I had to stop at one of those all-night food stores and buy all the ice they had. While it was frigid outside, I had to put ice on those colonies to calm them down. If you use an enclosed trailer, even on a cold day, you can still overheat the colonies and suffocate them because of the jostling effect that they're going through in the ride. Jeff said, not to go off on this tangent, but that story reminds me when I was in Georgia, I was doing a couple of articles on the Wilbanks apiaries. It was for bee culture, and I was talking to the owner. He showed me his queen-rearing facility, and of course he does a lot of packages, and he had specifically designed trailers for moving packages of bees. They were temperature-controlled. He can control the temperature inside the enclosed trailer for his bees, which was an interesting concept, but addresses the concern or issues that you faced. I said, the reason I'm on this tangent is because of exactly the same thing. A fellow beekeeper here in Worcester who contracts hauls packages every spring has an environmentally controlled trailer with doors, fans, vents, and thermocouples because he basically says the load is critical. You can insure the trailer, and you can insure the truck, and you may have medical insurance, but you can't insure the living bees. If you overheat those packages, then that's a disaster. In his enclosed trailer he's towing, he knows exactly what's happening temperature-wise from the cab of his truck. Jeff responded, "That's smart. Speaking of enclosed trailers, one of the things I think you've seen, and all beekeepers have seen these days, especially people in Europe, they're using trailers and the AZ-type hives to move bee colonies around." I don't know much about that, listeners, but it was certainly interesting. I've only seen pictures of these AZ hives. Jeff said, "I look at that, and what I know of AZ hives, I think, boy, that would really be a great way of doing things." I still, to this day, like the idea of putting beehives on a trailer to make my life easier as a beekeeper, a better beekeeper, and the AZ hives seem to be probably a good way to go. Putting all of that on a trailer would simply be fantastic. Well, I couldn't respond to that, listeners, very much, never having kept AZ-type colonies. But I told Jeff, I want to go a little bit deeper down this rabbit hole that you've started. Jeff chuckled at that. About 60 years ago, a USDA researcher designed a trailer that allowed the platform bed to be jacked up and taken off the mobile trailer frame. You put four legs down, one on each corner of the platform, jack the platform up, raise it with the hives on it off the mobile frame of the trailer, Then pull that frame out from under the platform, and off you do go. You took this strange-looking partial trailer frame contraption behind you, leaving the platform raised and the bees on the platform at the cucumber field. Jeff said, that's like the container trailers that we see here in the Pacific Northwest all the time. I'm sure they're everywhere. You see those without the container on them. It's just a frame with wheels. And I have seen that, listeners. Yes, yes. Jeff said, I like that idea. I responded, let me tell you where this trailer platform idea went. Let me tell you why the researcher says you don't see such trailers very often. When you're going back to get your platform and it's night and the truck's slipping, everything must be lined up exactly straight. If the mobile frame strikes either one of those back legs, the platform trailer dumps the load of colonies off the bed. Jeff said, oh my stars. Listeners, this very event happened, and about 40 colonies either shifted or fell from the trailer deck. He had some pictures all those years ago of that 40-colony load of bees on that platform tilted to one side where he accidentally struck one of the back legs. He decided the risk was too great, and the idea died. Listeners, now there's a chapter 2 to this saga. Years ago, I gave this same description to a beekeeping audience. To me, with no arrogance intended, the audience are just beekeepers, but in reality, they're candlestick makers, soldiers, and sometimes even airline pilots. My point is that the audience is a blend of people with myriad talents. I didn't know I was talking to two professional welders in that audience. From my lecture description, they made that very trailer design, but on a much smaller scale. They took the rear wheel hubs from at the time, a fairly common automobile, an Oldsmobile Toronado. It was one of the first front-wheel drive cars, and the rear wheel hubs simply bolted to the car frame. On their design, you could lower the pipe legs on the corners of the trailer bed and raise the deck off the frame. There's ways to do that, but I won't bore you with it here. Then with the deck picked up, the wheels are off the ground, you pull out a pin and simply pull the wheel hubs off, and you put those in the back of your truck. The tongue of the trailer was also detachable. And you put that in the back of your truck, too. Then, in theory, you took the two wheels and the tongue back to the home apiary where you had what? Other platforms. Then you hauled 8 different colonies somewhere else. This design was for a small beekeeping operation, and that's why I told you that the difference a bit ago between a trailer and a wagon was the suspension system. This idea, again, didn't go anywhere, not because he knocked out the back legs, but because the ride was so rough that we're now back to 15 miles an hour again without a suspension system on the trailer. You just about can't use it to move bees because it's so rough on the colonies. This small trailer idea, this beautiful, professionally made piece of equipment, one of a kind, never developed. It's just another idea for people exploring what beekeepers could do with trailers to keep from having to load and reload beehives. Listeners, I had a couple of pictures in the article of this unique, one of a kind trailer. Still got it, but I don't use it for anything other than a stationary hive support system. Jeff had some thoughts. He said, you consider the amount of brain power that's been put into this concept over the years by various beekeepers. I'm surprised there's no easy, readily made solution for bee trailers these days. Listeners, I was winding down by this point, and I said, I want to finish on this note. If you've got a big truck towing a large trailer, and you're on a narrow country road getting to a remote bee yard, you had better be crystal clear that the truck will make the turn through the gate that you've got to go through to get where you're going to drop those hives. Because one night, long ago, there was no way. The geometry was simply all wrong. There was no way that I could get my big truck to turn with that long trailer behind it to get through a narrow farm gate. Listeners, we had to unhitch the trailer from the truck in the road. We had to unload the truck in the outyard and then bring the empty truck back, take the hives off the trailer, load them onto the truck, then take to the truck to the drop-off site and unload it yet again. A lot of good it did to have a trailer behind the truck that night. Watch those gates. I love trailers. If you don't have a trailer behind you, you're just not doing the right thing moving your bees. Of course, I'm kidding. But there are quirks to trailering bees, and all trailers have them. Jeff commented that he thought it came down to understanding your trailer and your bee yards. Not only can you use that trailer in your yard or multiple bee yards in nice weather, but you can use that trailer in the bee yard on the worst possible days in the dark. And I said, and do all of that by yourself in the dark. So what works in the nice daylight may not work well at all at night. Jeff said, yep, you got to do it all by yourself. It's just that not every yard is on a flat surface. It's not always going to be an asphalt surface. It's going to be in an angle. It's going to be wet. It's going to be in the mud. And the bees are not going to be happy. And we haven't even talked, Jim, about how you secure the beehives to the trailer. Well, Jeff, that's a totally different subject. I use ratchet straps, hammers, staples, and don't think that the propolis seal is going to hold that equipment together. Don't think that colony will stay together because it's stuck with propolis. I've tried that. You know how it ended. You've got to strap them. But now we're off the subject. I like trailers. I want to use them for everything I can. If you use them, they're going to come with some quirks and caveats, but overall, they give you a broader aspect of beekeeping. And then at that point, I thanked Jeff for chatting with me, and I thank you, listeners, for listening to this conversation. I look forward to talking to you next month. I'm Jim Tew, telling you bye.